Chapter 2. Featherstone Factory School. Robert and Lucy pushed open the factory gates and walked in. The children walked along the path towards a big and gloomy building. Its dirty windows made it look even less inviting. There was a stream that flowed by the side of the building. Another path led along the stream and into a small dark wood.
"I don't like the look of this place at all," muttered Lucy, looking up at the looming building. "Look at that building, Robert. It looks so miserable. It's so dirty. Does no one clean the windows?"
"Shh," whispered Robert. "Someone's coming. Listen."
They stood still and listened. The voices were coming closer and closer.
"Where can we hide?" asked Lucy.
They looked around, but there was nowhere to hide.
"Come on, Albert," said the first voice. "We'll be late for school. Mrs. Bleak will beat us if we are late again."
"But I don't want to go to school, George," replied another voice. "I hate it, I hate it."
Suddenly, two boys appeared running along the path. A taller boy was holding a smaller boy by the hand. He was pulling him along, and the little boy was struggling to get free. The boys were so busy struggling that they didn't see Robert and Lucy.
Crash! All four children fell to the ground in a heap.
"Ouch! Ouch!"
yelled Albert.
"My arm! I hurt my arm!"
"Stop making such a fuss, Albert," said George.
He stood up.
"We're very sorry, we're..."
He stopped speaking when he saw Robert and Lucy. Albert stood up slowly and hid behind George.
"George, who are they?" he whispered.
"We come from the future," explained Robert. "But don't be afraid of us. We won't hurt you."
The two boys stared and stared with their mouths open.
How did you get here?" asked George.
Robert showed them the time travel phones.
"Our grandfather is an inventor," he explained. "He invented these so that we could travel through time."
"He must be a very clever man. But why are you wearing such funny clothes?" asked George.
"This is what people wear in the future," explained Lucy.
"I wouldn't like to wear clothes like that," said Albert. "They don't look very thick or warm to me."
Lucy laughed.
"We have very warm homes," she replied. "We don't need to wear thick clothes all the time."
George stepped forward.
"Forgive me. I have not introduced myself or my brother. My name is George, and this is my little brother Albert," he said.
Albert stepped forward and shook hands with Lucy and Robert.
"I'm Robert," said Robert, "and this is my cousin Lucy."
"We're pleased to meet you," said George.
"Do you work here?"
asked Lucy.
"Yes," answered George. "We are apprentices at the factory over there."
He pointed to the gloomy building with the dirty windows.
"What's an apprentice?" asked Robert. "Someone who learns a trade," explained George.
"And we have to go to school as well," added Albert crossly. "School is horrible. I hate Mrs. Bleak."
"Who's Mrs. Bleak?"
asked Lucy.
"Our teacher," replied George. "But she's not a real teacher. She's the factory manager's wife."
"What are you doing here?"
asked Albert.
"Are you lost?"
"No, we've been asked to write about factory schools," explained Lucy. "So we use the time travel phones to take us here."
"Yes," agreed Robert. "Now we can learn all about them."
"May we come to school with you today?" asked Lucy.
"Of course," answered George.
He hesitated.
"But everyone will stare at you dressed like that."
He stopped and thought.
"I will take you to the apprentice's house. No one will be there now, so we can go and find you clothes like ours to wear. We will tell Mrs. Bleak that you are two new apprentices. Come on, we must hurry. We are already late."
Back at the apprentice's house, George found an old shirt, some thick trousers and heavy boots for Robert to wear. Then he found a large apron and a grey top for Lucy. She tied the apron strings around her waist. It was so long that it touched the ground and hid her modern clothes. Quickly, the children ran to the schoolroom.
"Where have you been?" screamed a voice.
Robert and Lucy peeped into the schoolroom. Lots of children sat in rows with very straight backs. A large blackboard was at the very front of the room. It had some writing on it. A large woman was standing by a desk at the front of the room. She had a round red face and had a lace cap on her head. She looked very angry.
"Please, Mrs. Bleak," said George. "We are very sorry we are late. We had to show these two new apprentices where the schoolroom was."
Mrs. Bleak glared at George and Albert.
"This is the second time you have been late this month," she shouted. "The next time you are late, I will beat you with the strap."
Mrs. Bleak pointed to a long leather strap hanging from a nail on the wall. The boys shuddered. Robert and Lucy stared at it in horror.
"George and Albert, sit down," shouted Mrs. Bleak.
Albert sat in the second row. George sat nearer to the back. Mrs. Bleak tapped at the blackboard with a long ruler.
"Albert's row must do their copywriting from the blackboard. They must write neatly on their slates. There must be no mistakes."
The children began writing straight away.
"You boy," shouted Mrs. Bleak, pointing at Robert. "What is your name?"
"Robert," he answered.
"Sit next to George," shouted Mrs. Bleak.
She turned to Lucy.
"And who are you?"
"I'm Lucy," she replied.
"I don't suppose you can read. None of these stupid children can read," complained Mrs. Bleak.
She waved her hand across the schoolroom.
"I can read very well," answered Lucy.
"You can read?" said Mrs. Bleak in surprise. "Then you can help the younger children in the front row. Listen to each child read in turn."
Lucy sat down near a little girl in the front row. The little girl shyly handed her an old reading book.
"Time for the weekly test," shouted Mrs. Bleak.
She pointed her finger at George.
"How many inches in a yard?"
36, Mrs. Bleak," replied George.
"Correct,"
said Mrs. Bleak. She pointed to Robert.
"How many farthings in half a crown?"
"I don't know," said Robert. "I don't know what a farthing is or a half crown."
"What a stupid boy you are,"
shouted Mrs. Bleak. She handed him a cone-shaped hat. It had the word dunce across the front of it.
"Put this on your silly head and stand in the corner. Then perhaps you will remember your farthings and half crowns."
Suddenly, Mrs. Bleak noticed Albert. He was rubbing out some letters on his slate with the sleeve of his shirt.
"Let me see your slate," she shouted.
Nervously, Albert handed her his slate. Mrs. Bleak's face turned red with anger.
"What is this horrible mess? How dare you write so badly?"
She marched over to a cupboard and pulled out a badge with "I am stupid" written on it. She handed it to Albert.
"Put this on your arm and keep it on all day to show everyone you are a stupid boy."
Miserably, Albert put on the sleeve badge. Lucy stared at the woman. She was such a horrible person.
"Thank goodness our teachers are not like Mrs. Bleak," she thought. "I'm so glad she isn't my teacher."
Mrs. Bleak continued with the test, but luckily she didn't ask Lucy any questions. Everyone got their answers right, so Mrs. Bleak didn't punish anyone else that lesson. After the test, the class read their books. Lucy helped the younger children, while Robert watched from the corner. He was not allowed out from the corner until the end of the lesson. At least while he was in the corner, Mrs. Bleak left him alone. He saw George in the row near the back. He was reading with his head down. Nearer the front, Albert was struggling with his book.
His sleeve badge was clear to see by all. At last, school finished for the day. Everyone was glad it was over. Robert gave his hat back to Mrs. Bleak, who put it away ready for the next poor child to wear. Albert handed back the sleeve badge. He hoped he wouldn't have to wear it again. Robert and Lucy walked back to the apprentice's house with Albert and George. Albert was very quiet and sad.
"Do you go to school every day?" asked Robert.
"We have to go to school 3 days a week," replied George. "We work in the factory from early morning until late afternoon. Then we have to go to factory school for 2 hours in the evening."
"But you must get so tired," said Lucy.
"Oh, you get used to it," sighed George. He shrugged his shoulders.
"I'll never get used to it," said Albert sadly. "I hate it here and I just want to go home."
"Don't be silly, Albert," said George. "This is our home. We must stay here and work hard."
"What's Mr. Featherstone, the owner, like?" asked Robert.
"He's a kind man," smiled Albert. "He gives us a penny at Christmas, but we don't see him very often. We only see Mr. Bleak, the factory manager. He is as horrible as his wife, Mrs. Bleak."
"Yes," agreed George.
"Mr. Bleak is a bully. He only pays us a tenth of the men's wages. He's a mean man and always makes us do dangerous jobs."
"Doesn't Mr. Featherstone know how Mr. Bleak treats you?" asked Lucy.
"Mr. Bleak is clever," said George. "He makes us tell Mr. Featherstone that we are happy and that Mr. and Mrs. Bleak are kind. Mr. Featherstone doesn't know the truth."
Robert and Lucy felt very sorry for poor George and Albert. They were so unhappy at the factory. Only Mr. Featherstone could change life at the factory, but he didn't know the truth. Something had to be done. The children arrived at the apprentice's house.
"Come and meet Mr. and Mrs. Willow," said George. "You'll like them. They're not like Mr. and Mrs. Bleak at all. They're really kind. Come on."